Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
You'll be the best, and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Jordan, I know we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, and before we get into it, I do want to say, I'm happy to share that this podcast is brought to you, and you, and you, and you, by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. What were you saying, Rich?
A lot of people will be watching DirecTV on Sunday when the Rams open their season against the Chicago Bears.
Look at that segue. King of segues right there.
We're going to talk about that. I know we want to preview the game. We want to talk about this great story that you've just published on The Athletic. But first, the biggest news, just mere hours ago as we record, the Rams released their uniform schedule.
Big day for Rich Hammond on Planet
yes.
Hammond.
But as much as we joke about this, Jordan, I don't know how many questions I got on Twitter based on the graphic that the Rams sent out, because they did a very nice graphic where they showed the three uniforms, the bone, the royal, and the modern throwback, and listed the dates that each of them will be worn. There was much rejoicing in Rams land when it appeared that there will not be any blue-on-blue uniforms this season. However, there are five games in which the Rams are scheduled to wear the blue-topped jerseys. That does not preclude them, Jordan, from wearing different color pants.
Yes, and that's what I think I'm nervous about, because those are a stinker, right?
Yes.
But I think, and I don't know what their contract looks like for these uniforms, I do know that you have to wear X color X times. Like, they plan it out, and the sponsorship structure is based on some of this, in terms of that, plus the gear that you wear with it. That's like very, you know, delicate, right? But I think, so as you'll remember, we've discussed, they got all the blue on blue out of the way in the preseason. To me, I wonder if that was sort of filling a quota. You know what I mean? Because nobody wanted to wear them. I mean, I assume nobody wanted those, right? They are losing uniforms. If players are losing in these uniforms, they do not want to wear them. So I wonder if it was part contractual fulfillment and part, you know, for as smart and technologically advanced as this team is, part of that superstition kind of weighing in a little bit as well, which we know we will never get away from in this beautiful, stupid game that we all love.
Yes, yes. So we'll see. The modern throwbacks, which are the ones that were just introduced this past summer, the ones that will be worn on Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. Very excited about that. And then, they go through the rest of the. Those are going to be worn three times, all in kind of the big games, the Sunday night game against the Titans and the Monday night game against the 49ers. And then there's a lot of bone color, or as some people who don't like them call them, dirty water color. But I think there'll be some mixing and matching there, but I'd be surprised if we see any blue on blue. But very exciting news to start off our podcast with. But Jordan, you have on the Athletic app and website as we speak
50% off for new subscribers.
Yes, so for those of you who have been on the fence, this is you know, I don't want to oversell things. It's always dangerous, but this is as good of a story as you're going to read. And Jordan, I want to hand it over to you, but I know how much time you put into this story, And I want you to certainly tell it in your own words, but it is certainly a story that goes back, you know, years to the hiring of Sean McVay and the evolution of Sean McVay, the evolution of his offense, the evolution of the Rams defense. So I know you've spent so much time working on this. So tell folks, you know, if they didn't already start their Thursday morning by reading the story, tell them what they can expect from this piece.
Well, I appreciate you kind of teaming up for Rich. You guys all need to find you a friend like Rich Hammond, to be honest. Like, nobody, Rich talked me off the ledge. I just want everyone to know this. I don't care if it makes me look like a total train wreck. Like, Rich talked me off the ledge for almost 2 hours the other night because I have spent the last 8 months on a story that conceptually the seeds of this story were planted over a year ago. And especially for the last 8 months, and you guys will remember from previous podcasts, my trips to the Quarterback Collective, first in Indianapolis and then in Oceanside, California, and some of my smaller, yet still meaningful, and I was happy about them and proud of them, features that sort of were the roadmap to what this ultimately is. And I'm not going to give too much away of it, but I will tell you that it has been, especially for the last about, I would say about four, five months, has been my singular obsession. It has been to the point where I kind of now can laugh at myself for just being so every sentence, every line, like so obsessed with all of it. And so Rich, being the great friend that he is, talked to me off the ledge the other night because I was like, what if people don't like it? And I know it makes me sound like a total mess, but sometimes we all are kind of a mess sometimes, right? But having a friend like Rich, who also has his share of major projects that he's released and knows what this feeling is. This is the biggest story I've ever written. I mean, I've written stories that I've loved. I've written stories that I will cherish forever. I've met people through that course that I'll cherish forever. This story is the biggest story I've ever written in terms of scope and scale. And so I'm really happy to get it out of my my bones, basically, which is a really, really good feeling. But I also am like deathly afraid that you guys maybe won't like it. So I think right now, as we record this, we just scheduled it to post. And if you're listening to this, please go read it and then continue to press play on this podcast. I won't spoil much of it, but I will say that to me, the way that I view a lot of what happens in the NFL, I sort of almost view it in terms of the way that these coaching trees take structure and shape and cross-pollinate with each other. I view it as very biological, right? And I think that in nature, you have things, predators that challenge other predators or evolutions that happen between prey and predator. And so I think that that was somewhat the inspiration of this story because last year when Sean McVay hired Brandon Staley, he did so because he coveted the Vic Fangio brewed poison that killed him twice. And then that teams knew would do it again and again and again. And you tried to use some thematic elements of it against him again and again and again. And he could not get away from it. And so what he decided to do was hire a person who would introduce that into his own building so that he could face it every single day instead of once or twice a year via opponent and learn from it that way. If you have it, it's like in The Princess Bride, when this is my tortured metaphor of the week. If E-Lister is listening, he loves my tortured metaphor of the week. It's like in The Princess Bride when Wesley, who we think at the time is still the Dread Pirate Roberts, has built up an immunity to this poison that kills people. It's odorless, tasteless, builds up an immunity to it over a long period of time. And to me, and through the course of this story, as you will see, introducing a catalytic factor such as that defensive system and then also the pollination that Staley was able to build off of it via the Nick Saban Cover 7 concepts that he also blended with a lot of that Vic Fangio scheme and philosophy, built something very, very effective against Sean McVay's offense and the way that Sean himself has evolved his offense over the last several years since he was in Washington. It so happened that these two completely and perfectly were at odds with each other. And it also just so happened that they had to call a live training camp, basically, throughout much of camp, because they only had 2 weeks of in-person work before the season started because COVID-19 shut the building down for the entire spring. So it just so happened that all of these factors together in one sort of little petri dish up in Thousand Oaks, California, hidden away from everybody in the world. There's maybe five people outside of those two teams, outside of the offense and the defense, who saw that, who like were able to watch this unfold, were introduced to the right elements and the right variables. And it became a catalyst, right? It didn't just become, okay, we've got our defense installed. It became a catalyst with sort of reverberations that continue to flow and vibrate through what we're seeing happen throughout the league now, not the least of which include Matthew Stafford becoming the Rams' new quarterback and Sean McVay deciding to move on from Jared Goff, and the story will get into that. But also Brandon Staley becoming a head coach and teams trying to replicate what it was the Rams did during those 2 weeks last year. So I really hope you guys like it. If you don't like it, please don't tell me, because it might kill me. So
it's a remarkably deep story we could talk for 2 hours about all the angles that this takes. But just, and I don't want to give away too much of it either, but Jordan, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read one of the Brandon Staley quotes in here that I think really encapsulates a lot of what you're saying. And I'll just read it. This is Brandon Staley's words here. It says, "I think what was significant about how it unfolded was that Sean was really a huge part in the planning process. He allowed our defense to get off the ground, made sure that we had rules of engagement, and intentionally installed this where both sides were benefiting. It was year four of his offense, but he made sure that he wasn't going too fast too soon, where our defense would kind of be a sacrificial lamb. We helped them, they helped us. A lot of the things that he had trouble with, they were able to see every day in practice and work on and have a plan for. It was super competitive, but in all of the right ways." And there's so many layers to that as you get into Jordan in your story. And it's a great way to kick off the season. And it says a lot about why the Rams offense has evolved the way that it did, and says a lot about why Brandon Staley is a head coach in the NFL right now with the Los Angeles Chargers. So go ahead and give that a read. As Jordan said, 50% off if you're not already a subscriber for some reason. I guarantee you, whatever that works out to per year, it'll be worth it to read this story. So congratulations, Jordan, on
birthing a child. Yeah,
yeah, thanks. I know. I should send you balloons or something. Yeah, to commemorate
just
this.
Just as painful. I ran into Chris Shula today at the facilities, and he's quoted in the story a couple of times, and he was like, when's that thing coming out? And I was like, eye twitching the entire time. And I was like, tomorrow. And he's like, oh, really? And I was like, I can't talk about it right now.
Yeah.
I've been a mess. I've been a mess, guys. Like a total and complete. I'm not kidding. I think it's okay to be a mess sometimes. Like, I think it's okay when we admit it and when we talk about the things that we throw ourselves into for no other reason than I really believe in this story. And it's something that got into my bones. It got into my bones when I stood behind the Rams secondary, and I remember calling Rich, and I was like, Rich, I have covered the NFL for the last 4 years. The concepts I'm watching at practice, I have not seen in the NFL. And of course, it's because they were running the two high shells that rotated post-snap. That is a collegiate concept. Yes, Vic Fangio runs that. Yes, you will see that happen more and more throughout the league as it progresses. And the story illustrates what teams are already doing to introduce those things more into their defense. But I had not been watching college football. When you cover the NFL, you barely can watch any college football at all.
This is true.
And so I hadn't been watching college football. And so when I stood behind that secondary and watch them take the ball away that first week, like just wax the offense. And I sent out a tweet that week and I was like, I think this defense is going to be really special. And a bunch of you people who I remember every single one of you, but I will never, ever say anything. And it's
Jordan
all
in, has a list. Jordan has a list.
It's all in good fun and it's all good natured. But a bunch of you said that I was full of shit. So, but you know, it was just, that's not even the point. The point is like, it got into my bones, like just that thing that wakes you up in the middle of the night. And I counted up the emails I've sent to myself with lines in the story and things that I need to make sure to include in the story. It's like 287 emails in the last 8 months that I've sent to myself. And at all hours, just jolting awake, like I have to make sure I talk to this person. You know, 24 interviews on or off the record and you know, 2 weekends embedded with a lot of these offensive and defensive coordinators at these camp incubator like settings. And it just like the process of it, it's what this job is supposed to be, right? It's getting embedded and getting something like that just so deep in your bones that it's like, it becomes at a certain point, like why you're getting up in the morning. Like I have to tell this story. It's going to be a footnote. Right. In a week, it won't matter. But it's to me like it just I cannot explain how it just like it just I literally felt like I just had like one of those little miniature like single flame like kerosene lamps just inside my body the entire time trying to get this story out. And it took forever because it's complicated. There's a lot of complicated things in it, things that I'm so grateful for people. Coordinators and coaches and people who are analysts and people who Cody Alexander, shout out to him. He does match quarters. He does an amazing job. Helped me talk through some of these concepts because this entire last year, we all were learning this defense at the same time. Yeah. So that part was fascinating as well. So we're definitely going to get to Rams Bears, although it is timely because Sean Desai is going to be running a lot of the same things. So this is very timely that this is out because it's really, really important that, you know, we start to watch these trends. And Sean Desai is like a brilliant defensive coordinator. So he's going to be running a lot of these things as well. And so we'll obviously get to the Rams Bears and so excited for this Sunday night football situation. But I am really hopeful that you guys like it. I'm more relieved than anything else at this current moment that it's right before we jumped on this podcast, it was scheduled and went through its final series of edits and all that. And now we can move on with our lives. Now I have nothing in my life but Tucker to keep me sustained.
Well, congratulations.
Everything's ephemeral. Everything's ephemeral, and one day I will be dust.
Well, it's, you know, the story is very timely. Obviously, like you said, with the Rams playing the Chicago Bears and, you know, Sean Desai being a, you know, a disciple, I guess that's kind of, I always think that's kind of a weird word, but a student of Vic Fangio and that being the defense that was initially the one that started to give Sean McVay problems back in the day. And I think the one thing that this story speaks a lot to, at least for me, one of my big takeaways was, you know, why Jared Goff is no longer the Rams quarterback anymore. And like I said, we're going to spill the details of that story because even though the subscription is 50% off, we still do want that. We still do want that money. But it's really fascinating to see kind of how that played out and kind of to see what Sean McVay's thought process was. We know what a self-evaluator he is and how much time he spends analyzing himself and analyzing his own offense and his own players and things like that. So really how this all comes together, pretty amazing. And here we are, week one with Matthew Stafford at quarterback against the Chicago Bears facing a defense that, like all defenses, everybody adds their own wrinkle. So it's not, you know, I'm sure Sean Desai comes in with certain things that he's going to do a little bit differently. But this is traditionally a defense that has given the Rams a little bit of trouble. So it would be really fascinating to see how that goes. Jordan, Vegas and the you know, the online betting sites, they're pretty clear about who's going to win this game. The Rams are about 7.5 favorites as we record, which, as we talked about last week, I mean, that's a huge number. So in general, what do you think? I mean, is that the kind of game you want to start with if you're the Rams, one where everybody in the world is pretty much expecting you to win this game? Would you, if you're Sean McVay, would you rather have a bigger challenge, or are you happy to see a team like Chicago coming in on Sunday?
I think it's kind of the perfect challenge for, if we're really thinking that Sean McVay's learned from the last 2 years, I think it's the perfect challenge for him, because Sean Desai, the way that I hear him described is like, you know, the last couple of years they were sort of running like Fangio light defense, you know, like right. Some of the stuff was true and some of it was just not. It's very specific, some of the elements and concepts and how they blend together. But I think Sean Desai is so brilliant in terms of the tendencies and in terms of marrying together some of those concepts that not just maximize the player ability, but also some of these things that do give McVay trouble and do give any Shanahan system offense trouble. So for me, this is such a great first game because it's really a did I learn what I thought I learned? And I don't think it's going to be perfect. I think we could go on a whole new show on this, Rich, but there is the Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay hype is like out of control. Like it's out of control. And right. I think it's, look, I see them every single day. Right. And I think that they work so well together. They are constantly communicating. They are constantly troubleshooting each other. They are honest with each other. These are all things that are important. But I think it's going to be messy in parts still. I think that's the reality of this. This is a hard offense to learn. They say that it's, you know, makes quarterbacks and it's all this stuff. That's like sort of the typical phrase, but the quarterback's got to learn the damn thing first. Yeah. And it's tough. It's got so many rules and they're blending some different things in too with players that Matthew Stafford prototypically like to do in previous iterations. And a lot of things that they didn't do last year will be either back or reintroduced in some sort of form of evolution or some form of some fashion, like the way that they throw the ball downfield, for example. I think they're going to be spread out wider a lot of times, which you did not see last year. You saw so much small ball last year. And then I think I still don't know what the run game is going to look like consistently. I think they have a good hope for it. I think if the plan holds true, I think that it's a good plan, which is to run Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel in complement to each other. Don't know if that's going to work either because the health, it's predicated on health. So for me, it's almost like you have all of the elements you need. I need to see you how you put them together, and particularly how you put them together against probably one of the more adverse defenses that you will face. Not necessarily, I know that, you know, there's attrition and whatnot and personnel leave and stay and whatever, but you know, there's some injuries I think on that side too, but like this is schematically a really hard defense to go against still.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that this is, I think the Rams are going to win. I don't know if the line, or I don't even know if I'm saying it right, the spread or the line or whatever. I don't know if it'll be, you know, that dominant at the end of it. I don't think that the Bears offense will score a lot of points either.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I think that this is like, this is that game that, you know, all right, you talked all this game about how you improved everything and you evolved and you learned from this and you learned from that. Okay, now you show me. Like, what are you going to actually do? And I think it could be a little bit messy at first in parts. And Matthew Stafford's been trying things and stacking blocks together. And wrote a little bit about that last week as well. Like, and trying to make mistakes so he can learn from them and all of that. And so I think that you're still going to be learning through the first couple of weeks, particularly with this offense. But starting against this defense, it's going to be hard. But I don't think you want anyone else. People are going to be installing this against the Rams all year, hoping that it still works against them, right?
Right.
So they're hoping, and so the Rams are like, well, if we go out and kick the crap out of this defense, which would be their best case scenario, teams can't run it against them anymore. Well, then now what are you going to do? So that's probably their best case scenario. Either way, it's a great measuring stick, in my opinion, whether they are dominant against them or whether they're just, you know, okay with a couple of things here and there.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jordan, I mean, this defense, I mean, the big names, you know, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks is there. So you know what you're dealing with. Certainly with that front seven, old friend Alec Ogletree, old friend Robert Quinn.
Yeah. Although he's got a little bit of a back thing going on, I think, right now.
Poor guy. It's had that for like 24 years. I don't even know how old he is, but I think he developed it when he was about 5 years old. And I say that as somebody who has periodic back problems too. It's not fun. But Robert's two great guys, by the way. I mean, any longtime Rams fans, I remember when the team came here in 2016, those were two of the first guys I think who I talked to when we were at the out there in the beautiful Oxnard. Two really, really good guys. Great to see, you know, Alec Ogletree, you know, in a starting lineup there. So, it's going to be the secondary is a little bit younger, but Sean Desai, you know, being a secondary guy himself, I'm sure is putting a lot of emphasis on those guys. So, yeah, great matchup. Are we expecting a lower scoring game because of all this, Jordan? I mean, last year was 24-10, and, you know, again, a lot of different personnel, a lot of different coaching, but because of all of that, I mean, is this a situation where, the way I'm thinking, Jordan, like maybe close at halftime? I mean, maybe it's a low scoring, you know, 14-7, 14-10 at halftime, and then the Rams maybe add on a couple more in the second half. I don't know. I would caution Rams fans against panicking.
Yeah.
If things aren't, if they're not blowing out the Bears in the first half.
Yeah. I think that's a fair way to put it. I think that's a fair score, honestly. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a perfect game on the Rams side by any shot or any stretch of the imagination. And I just, you know, if I'm pessimistic now, I don't think I'm being pessimistic. I think I'm being a realist, and I'm normally an optimist, as you guys listening all know. So I just think that if I'm like slightly more on the pessimistic side now, you know, you guys will all be happy because they've exceeded my expectations, right? But at the same time, there are so many questions that I have, right? I have questions about the offensive line. I have questions about Brian Allen. I have questions about the run game, like I mentioned. Working in all of these different receivers and setting up those complementary layers offensively. And, you know, the Rams aren't going to show everything that they're wanting to do or even close to it. They won't even probably share 10% of what they actually are capable of doing, 15% of that playbook, because you need to make sure that you're setting things up game after game. But, you know, the core of it, like, you want to see them pushing the ball downfield. You want to see the offensive line at least handling itself respectably, and you want to see them actually make an impact in the red zone, which they absolutely were terrible in last year. So I think if you can just check off these small boxes right now, I think when you look at 8 games in, 7 games in, that's when you really want to start seeing Matthew Stafford with that comfort and clicking and really just slinging it around. Right now, though, you just want to check off these little boxes. You want to set those established standards in these little spaces. The run game, the rhythm, how it sets up the pass, the predication of the play action. You know, I'd like to see a little more play action out of shotgun. If you read the story, you will know why. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just different things like that, right? And, you know, stretching the ball downfield when you can. Guys staying healthy. These are the small boxes. I mean, I don't think it will take any major, massive, inspirational overhaul game plan to win this game, essentially. You need to do some of these things absolutely correctly. However, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
The other thing, just in kind of reading up a little about this Bears team, just this defense in particular, is they're putting an emphasis on turnovers. And that was something they were really good at in previous years. Last year, not so much. They were 25th in takeaways. So that'll be something to watch, both with Matthew Stafford and with the running backs. Ball control, making sure, you know, you have a couple turnovers in the first half and that game starts to get away from you. And that's when things get a little scary in the second half. So I'm sure there'll be an emphasis there on taking care of the ball, making sure you're putting it in good spots, things like that. So certainly a compelling matchup there. But again, Jordan, you never know. You never know how things are going to start. These team covered this ground, for years going back now. Some teams choose to play their starters in the preseason just to get a little bit of a test run. The Rams chose not to do that. You did not see an offensive starter playing. Unless I'm incorrect on that, I don't think we saw any offensive starters at all, even on the offensive line. So these guys are going in cold, other than training camp practices and some of these joint practices where you do get some, pretty good live work, but it's not the same. It's certainly not the same. So this is the first time. This is it. You're going out there on opening night under the big lights for the first time. So fascinated to see how that goes. The Bears were 8-8 last season. I don't think the expectations are a whole lot higher than that for them this year, but it's a big year. It's a big year for Matt Nagy, for Ryan Pace, the GM. They can't take a step back. That's for sure. Matt Nagy going back to calling plays, which is something he's gone back and forth a little bit on. And Jordan, I don't know. I think the Bears are a little bit, they're having some problems at left tackle. And the guy they drafted in the second round, Tevin Jenkins, is now out. He's not able to play. I would, this is one of those, I think I might like tweet at Elias Sports Bureau or something. We very well, depending on what the Bears do, we very well could have a game with two 39-year-old left tackles.
I know.
In Andrew Whitworth and Jason Peters. I don't know whether that's ever happened before. Have we ever had an NFL game with a combined left tackle age of 78 years old? I mean, that's pretty amazing. But how about on the other side of the ball? What are you looking at here with that Rams defense? Is there anything about this Bears offense led by Andy Dalton that causes you any particular concern?
It doesn't inspire much fear. But I will say I think that Rams are smart for a couple of things. And I don't dislike Andy Dalton. Right. I think people crap on him sometimes, which, it is what it is, but that's like, he's your bridge quarterback. Okay. He's not your future. So,
right.
It's all right, Andy. You just hang in there, man. sorry about Aaron Donald, but sorry about that, dude. But, yeah, my sympathies. But, so I think the Rams are smart because, we've talked a lot about the reasons why they've kept Bryce Perkins active or on the 53 in terms of the waiver claims and all of that. Well, it's also an advantage, I think, when the Rams, they are very certain that, even though Matt Nagy has been saying it's Andy Dalton. And by the way, I do appreciate the approach of not playing a young quarterback before he's ready. And I'm a big Justin Fields fan. I really, really liked his tape out of Ohio State. I thought the Panthers should have drafted him back. This was back when I was kind of still keeping one eye on things over there. And I think, I think a couple of teams maybe when it's all said and done will maybe imagine that they should have drafted him. But I think part of it with what the Rams are doing is not necessarily believing it fully that Andy Dalton will play every single snap of that game. I think that if you're looking maybe for some change of pace packages or maybe some design run packages, things like that, you don't rule that out. But you don't commit too hard to it either. So I think having a Bryce Perkins on the roster who can do those design run packages and maybe show that look on the scout team. John Walford's still running all the scout team reps, by the way, but having another guy who can come in and show that look just in case you need it. You don't know if you will. Right. You're not going to get too caught in the weeds of and waste a bunch of time worrying about it. But if you need it, you know what it looks like. You can apply it, down the stretch. And vice versa. I mean, I think we can't totally rule that out with Bryce Perkins down the stretch, right, to be honest with you. I think that'd be smart to have, right, guys thinking about just one extra thing they might have to do. So, you know, I think that was a smart decision that they made, and obviously kind of one born out of necessity if they didn't want to lose Bryce Perkins. But I think that, you know, I'm not super – there's not a lot of guys who – you know, Allen Robinson, I've been a fan of – you know, I covered Penn State, so I've been a fan of his game for a long time and, you know, kind of have felt bad for him in terms of how things have been for him within that management. But, you know, I think the Rams' defense – this is a big game for them as well. This is not just them showing that they can kind of pick things up where they left off, despite losing some of these really, really lauded playmakers and contributors. John Johnson, I think, is the name that I kept hearing get brought up through the course of reporting this story, probably more than any other name in terms of that communication and all of that. That's going to be a huge loss. Jordan Fuller stepping into that communicator role, not just doing that in his second year, but doing that with the new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris. And I urge you guys to go check out my profile of Raheem Morris. He was very gracious to give me some time. That came out on Monday, if you haven't seen it yet. So I think this is a big prove it situation for the defense too. Can they fly around and be aggressive? Can they kind of have that attitude, you know, that they had by the end of last season? Jalen Ramsey played a lot of star in camp, mostly played star throughout camp. That's my my pin story, is how that sort of has evolved. And I think that's where you might see Raheem Morris sometimes add some of his own personality, his own wrinkles in what he designs for Jalen Ramsey in that position, using him as a linebacker, a pass rusher, using him in run support, using him obviously against slot defenders, moving him outside when you have like a true X receiver. I think that this is going to be really, really important in terms of seeing not everything that Jalen Ramsey will do, because remember, it took 4 weeks before the Rams defense kind of began to express itself last year. But seeing a lot of the things that they have planned for him and many of the things that they maybe will carry over year over year. What about you, Rich? I'm curious too, not just on defense, but on both sides of the ball. Like, wondering if you have like two or three names that you're just really on the Rams side that you're just really like, I need to see this from this guy.
Well, Daryl Henderson is at the top of the list for me. I don't want to ask you these questions, Jordan, because there's certain things that I know you see during practice that you can't share. For instance,
I know you tee me up to get all of these like slaps on the wrist.
Yeah, man. I don't want to do that to you. So I don't. I have the benefit of. If you want to put it that way, of not having seen everything.
Why don't you just imply it yourself? You already know. So
I don't. I'm genuinely curious. I'm genuinely curious to see what that split is like with Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel. And even if Jake Funk, you know, gets in there at all, how they're going to manage that. What types of situations is it going to be? You know, you saw it when the Rams tried to manage it with Todd Gurley, the ill-fated attempt to manage it with Todd Gurley, where they would kind of go series by series. Todd Gurley would get a couple series and then they'd bring in whoever it was then, Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson, you know. So how do you play that? Or is it more situational? That sort of thing. I'm really curious to see what the snap totals end up being there and also the touch totals. This being the first game, maybe, you know, maybe it looks different in week two, three, whatever. But just how they start out with Daryl Henderson and how he looks in his first real time, as what we consider to be the number one back. So, curious there. On the other side of the ball, I was going to mention you reminded me when you were talking about it, Jordan Fuller, stepping into a huge role. And by the way, Jordan, I jogged my memory when you were talking there. We haven't talked, I don't think, since the captains, the list of the Rams captains.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
Yeah.
Those are voted by teammates, too.
Yeah, you go through the list and you go, okay, makes sense. You know, the quarterback, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Andrew Whitworth, Robert Woods, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Johnny Hecker from special teams. And then you get to Jordan Fuller being a team captain. You know, just it's not even, what, 18 months ago that he's a sixth round pick. And you know, I I'd have to go back and look at the list of sixth round picks from last year. I don't know how many have even played or started an NFL game at this point. And here's Jordan Fuller out there, not only as a starting safety, not only wearing that green dot, but also as a team captain now. So what a tribute to him, just the trust, like you said, Jordan, the coaches trusting him to be that communicator on the field, and then his teammates trusting him enough to vote him as a team captain, as somebody who they're going to look up to and count on to lead them on the defensive side, along with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, two of the best players in the world.
I know. That's rare air, man.
It really
rare
is.
Air. Yeah.
You know, based on everything, and you've chronicled, you know, his I said career. I mean, it's only been 1 year, but you've chronicled his time in the NFL as much as anyone, more than anyone. And by all accounts, you'd think he's going to be ready for this. He hasn't shown us anything over the last year that would indicate that he's going to be in over his head or that this stuff is going to be too big for him, but it certainly is a step up. He's filling some very big shoes, as you just said, with John Johnson and with being that communicator. So just seeing how that looks on the field and, you know, how he handles that the first time, I expect it to go well. Just seeing how that looks is something that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on.
Yeah, you know, oh, I'm so glad you mentioned Jordan Fuller, as I normally am, being one of the conductors of the Jordan Fuller hype train myself. Man, that guy has a great first name, doesn't he?
Yes,
Yes. So I learned something today, and I thought about this. It kind of was like a oh my God moment, where sometimes things get put in front of you, like different pieces get put in front of you that start to click and make sense. Okay, just stay with me here as we track this.
Okay.
So we know that this system and Staley running it in particular is kind of ushering in a mini trend of safeties who wear the green dot, right? Like Derwin James will wear the green dot. He's going to be their star essentially. So he's going to be doing everything for them, not just playing safety. John Johnson wore it. Jordan Fuller's wearing it. Okay. So in my Raheem Morris piece, I found that Raheem Morris tried the green dot with Kenny Young, who is a linebacker, an inside linebacker. Traditionally, inside linebacker, especially your every down linebacker, actually not just especially, always your every down linebacker in a more traditionally viewed defense, this guy is your green dot. And he doesn't come off the field. Luke Kuechly, obviously, this was a 4-3. Luke Kuechly wore it all 8 years in Carolina. You know, the tradition is your every down inside linebacker, your mic, quote unquote, where's the mic, quote unquote, right? But these guys are safeties who have been wearing this over and over. Okay, so we know that, right? Raheem Morris and Mike Tomlin are like best friends, right?
Hmm.
Not no offense to his friendship with Sean McVay. Right. Raheem Morris and Mike Tomlin are close and have a ton of shared history on coaching staffs. And it's like basically they came of age together, right? Mike Tomlin does not believe in any other player other than an inside linebacker wearing the green dot. And like adamantly, publicly, and like just refuses to entertain the idea, okay?
Right.
Raheem Morris comes in. They try the green dot with Kenny Young. They're running the same defense, right? They're running about the same defense, different evolutions and iterations, right? The same defense. Well, Jordan Fuller is so freaking good at his job that he changed the way that Raheem Morris thinks about the green dot. That's the jump that I'm willing to make
right.
at this point
right.
because it's not a detriment to Kenny Young. Like this right. defense, first of all, the safeties play from depth. So obviously you want the guy who can see the entire dang field to be wearing your green dot, right? If he can communicate it well. So that's all good.
Right.
But at the same time, you have a new defensive coordinator who has the incredible lack of ego to learn a system that's not his, which was phenomenal what he did, and then help teach it to players, young players, new players, and then implement some of his own twists. Well, at first, clearly, it sounded like one of those twists was, hey, we're going to go back to a middle linebacker, an every down middle linebacker wearing this green dot. Not so, right? That's how good Jordan Fuller is at his job. And that is really cool to me, to be honest with you. Like, this is a second year player. That is how good he is at his job, that he is helping. It's not just coaches evolving on their own. Like, the player is showing the coach what needs to be done. And, like, I'm not saying Raheem, like, wasn't open to it. They tried, obviously, a lot of different things. And, right. and like, Jordan was always a candidate for it. But being so – having that history, years and years and years of history of doing it a different way and then coming in and now you do it this way, I think it speaks volumes not only about Raheem Morris in terms of what he's willing to do when players show him something and show him proof of what they can do and he's willing to adjust to them and not the other way around, but also – that's how freaking good Jordan Fuller is at his job.
Yeah. Yeah. To and like you said, kudos to Raheem for not being, you know, stubborn about that. And you know, not he could very easily could have said, I like this guy, but I'm going to stick to what I've done for forever. But, you know, realize that that was the best thing to do. And I really do think it is. So fascinated to see that whole matchup. You know, we talked a little bit about that. Bears offense, and they've made a lot of changes at receiver. So this is a different group. I mean, you know, I don't even you talked about Allen Robinson. I've liked Allen Robinson for a long time. He should benefit.
Has he been one of your fantasy football picks, Rich? I'm surprised you haven't brought this up yet.
Well, it's funny that you asked that, Jordan. I've been waiting for you to ask that. I did not draft Allen Robinson.
Tell our listeners yes. what you did. It was 5:45 in the morning after the Sony Michel trade came in.
Yes.
Tell them what you did to me.
Didn't you like solicit questions or something like that?
No,
that,
I did not solicit questions, Rich. Oh. You texted me.
Did I? Oh.
You texted me and said, "Hey, Jordan, this is producer of quote."
Oh, insert. That. Right. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Rich texts me in the middle of all this craziness as only he can. And he says, and if you guys don't know, it's like a long running bit. I don't know a thing about fantasy football, but naturally as a beat writer, you get a lot of questions. But it's funny because Rich plays fantasy football. And so we go back and forth about this all the time. So Rich texts me in the middle of all of this craziness and says, quote, "Hey, Jordan, this is insert name here, producer of insert fantasy show here. Mm-hmm. Wanted to know if I could get you for a few questions about Sony Michel and what he brings to the Rams running backs room and how I might be and when I should draft him in my fantasy league this year." And I think I texted you back something like, "I hate you so much."
Yeah,
I actually, no, I texted you the middle finger emoji, I think is what I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I needed to, it's important. Those are the things that people want to know. So I didn't. I did, however, draft Justin Fields.
Hey, that's cool.
I drafted Darnell Mooney.
Nice.
Because thinking ahead a little bit, thinking that this could be a connection later on. There's a lot of options there. I mean, Allen Robinson, you know, Damir Bird, Marquise Goodwin, Brashad Perryman comes in, mentioned Darnell Mooney. They're going to have to sort that out a little bit. And see who, you know, obviously who Andy Dalton connects with is not necessarily the people who Justin Fields is going to connect with. They're very different quarterbacks. And so if they do end up making that change at some point this season, which I think they probably will, then that probably gets a little bit different look. But, you know, good for them for building that up. They've got David Montgomery at running back. He's a guy who can cause some problems. Their offensive line to me is a little problematic in this game. Like I agree with it about Andy Dalton. I think he takes, you know, too much crap for, you know, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but, he's a capable quarterback, but I just don't know. I mean, again, you've got Jason Peters at left tackle. They've got some issues on the right side too. I don't know how strong their middle is. I got to think Aaron Donald is going to have some sweet dreams on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Thinking about, you know, what might happen at SoFi Stadium. So, I can understand why. The one thing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit was just Matt Nagy. I think his quote was something like, "We need to see what Andy Dalton looks like in the regular season." And I'm kind of like, if there's
seems pretty pretty much you already know, man.
Yeah. If there's one guy you really don't need to see, it's Andy Dalton. Like, he, for better or worse, he is what he is. I don't think he's going to be dramatically changed from what we've seen over the last year or two or five or six. So I think it's, you know, coaches are going to say what they want to say. I think, as you indicated, Jordan, it's more about putting Justin Fields in a best situation, and maybe throwing him out there in week one is not the best situation, at least as a starter. I'll be fascinated to see whether or not he does end up on the field at any point. I wouldn't rule it out. I'd certainly, I might even recommend it just to kind of give the Rams a little bit of a different look. But yeah, have to think, you know, the way that the Rams are looking, you know, an outside linebacker, and certainly with Aaron Donald there, this could be an opportunity to get after it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Damir Bird. Damir Bird is better than people think he is. Damir Bird is underrated, I think. I mean, I think this dude's got top end speed, and I covered him his entire time in Carolina. And the problem was, is he would have these great bursts of production, and then he just couldn't stay healthy. And it was like freak stuff too. Like, a helmet collided with his forearm at one point. He was the infamous, or I guess it was really, I shouldn't say infamous because it was awesome. He like caught a touchdown and was in bounds by Carolina's kind of a small market. Not sure if you guys heard about it all the way out here at the time, but it was a thing. So I'm not just making it up. I'm not like being inappropriate. This was an actual thing that happened. We called it the butt down because he got one cheek in bounds as the replay ruled. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to be inappropriate saying that, but it was like a thing out there for a while. And so you'd always call it, you know, touchdown rule via one cheek, essentially. Nice. Which was great. But yeah, he's good. I mean, he can stretch a field. So he's someone who they certainly will have their eye on. He adds layers for them. Obviously, with the Patriots last year, had a respectable year, I think, with the Patriots. And Cam Newton obviously knew him really well from their time in Carolina together. But Damir Bird is someone who I'd keep an eye on. When you have new pieces in place, I think that you play guys with experience like that. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm really not. Right. Usually Thursdays, Fridays are when I start digging into the roster and like what they did in the preseason a little bit more.
Right.
So Bears fans, if you are listening to this and you think I'm wrong, please tell me. But I think that you really, he's someone that I would not be surprised if he got into the rotation pretty often.
And Jordan, for you to speak so highly of someone named Bird, I think really, I know how much
horror.
I know
horror.
How much you
horrifying name.
How much you
horrifying
hate
last name.
How much you hate the entire group of them. But this is BYRD, so I guess it's okay. It's not
B-I-R-D. Well, he used to do like the wing thumbs hooked, wing flapping motion.
He? That's great.
After he'd score, and I'd always be like, oh.
Right.
You know, like, oh God, you know, my nightmare.
Right.
Yeah. So, but he was great though. He's such a nice guy, like great to cover and everything. Just real pity about the last name, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Jordan, as we wrap up here, how, and not to get too sappy or whatever, but, it's going to be Sunday night football. It's going to be a packed house at SoFi Stadium.
One Republic is playing the halftime show.
Yeah. I mean, Wow! Ed Sheeran and One Republic. I mean, wow! They're really bringing out all the big names for the first week of the season. But how great, right? And again, we hope everybody's safe. Please don't be stupid at the games, okay? Like, you know, whatever the protocols are, I haven't really kept track of them. But, you know, please follow them. We want to get to the end of the season, okay? Please, we want to be able to still have fans in stadiums at the end of the season. But Jordan, you know, after watching games in that empty stadium last year, and I was out there for a couple of them too, and it, you know, it's always great to go to an NFL game, but man, was it weird to watch a game. I mean, how much are you looking forward to, you know, just that kickoff on Sunday night and to hear that crowd, you know, really full throated for the first time? I mean, it's really going to be special.
Oh my God. I just can't wait. That's really what it's all about. Is it's kind of like what I talked about earlier, and I guess I could bring it full circle here. It's like, that stuff gets into your bones, man. That stuff just, that really is what you hold and what you remember and what you have inside you that just makes you love something so much. And it's that sound. It's not even really what you see half the time. You know, you could maybe forget this game, but you'll never forget what it sounded like the first time you heard that swell when the kickoff happens, you know?
Right.
And I think that's something I'm so looking forward to. And that's something that's really important. It really matters. And so I do also urge everybody to just keep each other safe out there. I mean, we're all we got, you know, this is it. Right. The people you go to these games with and the people you see and the people you have around you, even the most daily tasks, the most mundane things, we are all each other has. And so I just really just urge you guys, just look out for each other out there, keep each other safe, keep each other well and healthy, and keep on listening to the 11 Personnel podcast. Yeah.
And of course, follow along with Jordan Rodrigue, who of course will be there on Sunday night. You can of course follow along with her on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue, but what you're really, really going to want to do is make sure that you have subscribed to The Athletic. The Pile. Is The Pile coming back, Jordan?
The Pile is coming back, Rich. All right. I'm so excited. And that also means that you guys need to start sending me beer recommendations again, because after I file The Pile and am home, I click into the comments section and I start talking with you guys and we share ideas and dialogue, and it's always a great time. And I always crack a beer open, and I'm not into like cloudy stuff. Can't do a lot of, actually my stomach can't do a lot of wheat beer anymore. Definitely into the IPAs though. So
right.
You guys make sure you send them along. You know, Rich is also going to be following along with this game, although he also has a life. So hopefully is also taking some time for himself as well. But you can follow him at Rich_Hammond for all of your, I think maybe funnier takes than me. I think you've got a little more of an edge in a good way.
Yeah, let's lower the bar on funny. I don't know about that. Yeah, yeah. They might be witty sometimes. I don't know about funny, but yeah. Of course, if you haven't already subscribed. Oh, by the way, Union Jack IPA. Are you in on that one?
I have. I've had that. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
That was the first thing that came to mind for me. So. You'll want to get in on that too. You want to get in on the beer discussion. You want to get in on all these great features. We didn't even talk about the other stories that Jordan did this week. Great story behind the scenes look at video that was done, video shoot that Jordan got to be a part of. So you can go read that. We don't even have time to talk about that one, but you can go to theathletic.com/11personnel. Then you won't miss any of it. And you will get Jordan's favorite thing in the entire world, even more than a good IPA, which is what?
A great discount. You can get a great discount every single time you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast. You get a great discount. My favorite thing in the world. You guys, we so appreciate starting another season with you. We are cheersing to you as soon as we get off this Zoom. Please don't forget to send us feedback, send us comments, send us reviews. We love 5-star reviews, although we are a little biased. We read everything you write to us and we cherish it and appreciate it. I know that sometimes it might seem like you guys are just sending comments out into the void, but I promise you, we read everything and we really, really love feeling you guys here with us. So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next week.